Psalm chapter 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is the first of seven historical psalms, along with the others, Psalm 105, 106, 107, 114, 135, and 136. I thought of that joke with historical. I don't know who said it, but somebody told the joke a long time ago that, boy, whenever I mess up in any way, my wife gets historical. And they said, don't you mean hysterical? And like, no, I mean historical. She starts bringing up every other issue I ever had from the past. But we have this historical psalm here, Psalm 78, and it's a lengthy one. A lot of verses here, but I want to start into the beginning of it and looking into two lessons, verses 1 through 11. We'll take two different times to finish all of it. We're not going to do all 72 verses. But as we look at this, let's start, and we'll read verses 1 through 11, and then, like I said, we'll get through verse 4 tonight, and then finish up next time I'm up here. So verses 1 through 11, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So right away, just the idea of fathers, parents, passing along truth. And not just the what of life, but the who behind the what of life. There's truth. There's meaning to this life. We don't just come into this world and breathe and sleep and eat and do whatever and then die. There's a God behind all of this, and I sure am glad there is. He gives purpose to our lives. And here it's like, dads, you have to pass that along. You have to make sure your children pick up on the what of life, the truth, and the who, the God behind that truth. Dads, you've got to make sure it happens. Our fathers have told us, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. We have a responsibility to the generation to come. The praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. So we get to look back at Israel. We learn all. They're a living object lesson. We look back at the history of that people and we see how God worked with that people, and we say, well, they were a special people, and maybe I wasn't a part of that, but they were a special people, but God was using them to bring special things to us, using them to eventually bring our Savior through that people, and even the caretakers of the Scriptures throughout the Old Testament, making sure we had the Scriptures, that precious book that Pastor Malinak mentioned that we're looking forward to hearing from tonight. He established a testimony in Jacob, and pointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. I love those words, that our kids might learn to set their hope in God. What do you want to do with your life? Oh, whatever God has for me. And I'm not interested in anything else. In fact, away with anything else. I don't want to jump into something else and miss what God has for me. You see, my hope is set in Him. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments and might not be as their fathers. Verse 8, we get into a set of fathers who were not a good example. a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim being armed, well, that's nice. You're going to go into battle, it's nice to be armed. And carrying bows, oh, that's nice. Sounds like they're equipped. You're going into battle, it's nice to be equipped. Turned back in the day of battle. So we have people that stepped into the battle having all the equipping they possibly need, but had no heart for the war, had no heart for the battle. And oh, what a sad thought that maybe someone would come through Fairhaven Baptist College and have all the equipping they need for the battle, but no heart for it. And oh, how sad it would be for young people to come through our church, our kids, to grow and have all the equipping they needed, but have no heart for the battle and turn back. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgat his works and his wonders which he had showed them. So I'm going to start part one of Fathers Who Further the Faith. Fathers Who Further the Faith. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd be with this time that we have tonight. Thank you for, again, as Pastor Malinak prayed, what a treasure we have in your precious word. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, through your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that we would have fathers. Lord, I need your help as a dad. I want to pass along to my children, Lord, the truth in such a way that it's so evident that you are important, God, and that you have plans for their life, and that my kids, their hope would be set in you, not wanting to live this life apart from you, but being afraid to miss what you have for them, because what you have is best. Your way is perfect. Help me as a dad. Help the other dads in here. Help the moms and help the young people that are going to be parents someday. God wants them to pick up the truth and pass it along to their children that aren't even here yet, Lord, but you know who they are. You already have a heart for them. And, oh God, your son has already died for them. Lord, you already have plans for the people that don't exist yet, the offspring of the people sitting here tonight. Lord, we have a responsibility to them. I pray, Lord, to be careful with your word, to guard our hearts against those things that will steal our affections away from what you want, oh God. I ask these things in Christ's name, amen. So fathers who further the faith. So I'm going to get through two of my points tonight. We'll get through two the next time I'm here on a Thursday night. But so verses 1-3, I'll give you my outline. We see blessings from the past. Blessings from the past. God gave us his law. He gives us his regulations, but it's actually a wonderful thing to know what God wants. Milton Bradley, you can go, you can buy the game of life, right? The game of life. And if you want to succeed at the game of life, you have to know the rules. It's just that simple. Hey, have you ever played the game of life before? No, what are the rules? And in that context, the rules, there's no possible way to win without knowing the rules. And I would like to succeed. I would like to win. What are the rules? Can we look through the rules? Because I enjoy victory. I enjoy success. But I have to know what the rules are. Oh, God has given us his law. You want to succeed at this, not a game, but this thing called life that you find yourself in? Well, how do I succeed? Well, the answer to that is you got to know the rules. Abide by them. Find out what God wants, the one that laid everything out, and the one you can be successful as long as you know what he wants. And you'll build your life around what he has laid out. Verse 4, we see the bounty of providence. The bounty of providence, how his wonderful works that he hath done. God has been working, and he's not done working. He wants to continue working. Do you look in the past and see God at work? Well, that will help you when you look at today and say, God must be at work, and knowing the future is his, and God will be at work, and I want to be a part of what God is doing. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And of course, we pray that, and we think, well, it's a good thing I'm praying. You know, it'll help God bring his kingdom in, you know. But at the end of that, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. It's gonna, his kingdom is invisible in the hearts of men right now that belong to him, but his kingdom is coming. He does succeed. I want to be a part of the victory. Blessings from the past, the bounty of providence. And then in verses 5 through 7, how beautiful are their prospects. That they might set their hope in God. That they might set their hope in God. I'm so glad, Brother Fletcher, that I can tell my kids that God has something wonderful for you. It's not just an option for you. Everything else is worthless. But God loves you and he's got wonderful plans for you. In fact, sometimes we think, who does God think he is? That he would be so presumptuous as to lay out plans for my life. And that's human arrogance, isn't it? We should say, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you that you care enough about me, little old me, to have plans for my life. Oh, I can't believe you're that good to me. The beauty of prospects. I can tell my son, God had something for you. And I want you to set your heart, set your hope in him. But then verses 8 through 11, we see the backsliding in their posterity. There were some who turned back in the day of battle. They were equipped but had no heart. They had no heart for victory. And boy, if there's one thing that's true about our kids at the school here, we make sure they're equipped. But sadly enough, sometimes we see kids come through this place and they have all the equipping they need, but no heart to fight for God and against this world. Instead, we see the fight emerges, fighting against God and for this world. A heart that's been turned after having received all the equipping that they need. So tonight we'll look at verses 1 through 4. The blessings of the past. God gave us his law. So verses 1 through 3, let's read those. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Won't you listen? Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So that first phrase, give ear, O my people, to my law. When God gives his truth a tongue to proclaim it, like he does here with the psalmist Asaph, we better listen. Here we're taking a look to the past, and what can we learn from what God has done. And again, it's wonderful that God would give us the rules. I suppose some of us you purchase a puzzle from a garage sale and you think, how many pieces are missing? You might purchase a game from a garage sale, or you're saying, you know what, I'm not going to purchase that game because there's a chance that some of the pieces are missing, the rules might be gone, and I'm not sure how to play that game. If the rules are gone, there's no point in buying it. If I don't know the rules, there's no point. And really, this life, if you don't know the rules, this life is empty and meaningless. But God graciously left us the rules, the things that we can do to succeed. It's not he's a hard God. He left us all these do's and don'ts. You're looking at it all wrong. His commands are not grievous. It's the rules. We can follow this book and succeed. I don't want to buy that game from the garage sale. It might be missing the rules. And without the rules, you don't have anything. Without the rules, we don't have anything. The next thing, incline your ear to the word of my mouth. Incline your ear. I think the idea of a turn your head a little bit more. Lean in a little closer. Boy, you can see people kind of settle back in their seat when they're not all that interested. They start to slouch down maybe a little bit. But boy, if there's something interesting, they come forward a little bit. The eyes open a bit. They lean forward in their chair. If there's something that awakens and excites their attention, lean closer. Give earnest attention. I almost think, you know, there in Proverbs 29:1, he that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There are those that resist, and of course, we parents have tried to explain things to our children, and they're like, nope, I'm not. It's like playing chicken, and who's going to flinch first? Dad won't see it my way, and nope, I can't see it your way, because you won't. My way is, you need to see it my way, Dad. You need to see it my way, Mom. And finally, hopefully, God brings it to the point where the child can, I can set my viewpoint aside and see the value in yours. And it's difficult sometimes. Boy, that neck gets so hard. No. The way I see it is the only way. And I'm not backing down. And that neck gets stiffer and stiffer. And of course, we've had those conversations with our children. Don't have that stiff neck. Here he says, incline your ear. If you're going to incline your ear, there's some unstiffening of the neck there. Away with the way I see things, God. I'm going to submit to the way you see things. I'm going to see that as being important. He says, incline your ear. You might be watching something involving the military and maybe the Navy or something, and they might say, attention on deck, captain on deck, or whatever, officer on deck. And boy, if they're sitting there, if they're lounging and playing or whatever, attention, captain on deck, and or whatever, you know, anything they were doing is done. The captain is there. Anything they were doing is done. The captain is there. He's got their full attention. Whatever he's about to say is the only thing that's in front of them. Incline your ear. God has something to say. Nothing else matters. Of course, the people that are going to jump to attention are the ones that are in the same fighting force. So if you don't belong to God, then when he goes to speak, boy, it's not everyone jumps to attention, but let me tell you that we all jump to attention for somebody. Every one of us. I don't, yes, you do. You jump to attention for somebody. And if it isn't God, it's the world or the devil or your flesh, all those. You jump to attention for somebody. Here where it says incline your ear and jump to attention away. What I have to say is all that matters. Who are you jumping to attention to? Men will lend their ears to music. How much more then should they listen to the harmonies of the gospel? Men sit enthralled in the presence of an orator. How much rather should they yield to the eloquence of heaven? What does the song say that his words were so sweet that the birds hush their singing? When God has something to say, does that excite you enough to hush everything else? You incline your ear. He says next, I will open my mouth in a parable. The psalmist is quoting Jesus, Jesus will quote the psalmist, I said that backward, in the book of Matthew, Matthew 13, verses 34 through 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Right here what we're looking at, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Jesus in Matthew 13 told the parable of the leaven. And he was about to send the general multitudes away. At times, God, and again, when you look at at times God would conceal truth and he would reveal truth. He would reveal it to those who had a heart to accept it. The psalmist was looking at history and he said, there's an unseen hand there, God at work. There are truths that are about to be uncovered. Jesus, in the New Testament, there in Matthew 13, he looked at nature and saw truth revealed to some and concealed to others. Both the psalmist and the Savior opened their respective books to show how fully God had revealed himself. History and nature alike corroborated the revelation God has given of himself in his word. So there were some that God concealed his truth to, and others he revealed his truth to, depending on what was in their heart. Which audience would you belong to? I don't know. Sometimes I come to church and I don't get much. Could it be that God is concealing his truth from you because you have a heart that is set against what he would want in your life anyway? Pastor Mel and I, years ago, he did a course for us on apologetics. And recently I was going through that. And I thought it was interesting. It was kind of fun, Pastor Malik. I like watching your face. You would deliver something immensely profound, and then just look at the college students, kind of hoping for like, wow. And there wasn't much of one. And so you'd look at them hopeful, and like, next point. But he said, if we could gather every fossil on all of the earth, the ones that we've discovered and otherwise, if we could lay out every single fossil side by side, what would they tell us? And of course, Pastor Mel in that humor, he said, well, because fossils don't talk, they wouldn't tell us anything. But as we looked at those fossils as evidence of some kind, what would that evidence prove? He said, well, it depends on what's in your heart to begin with, what your presuppositions are. The evolutionist that's already rejected that God is his creator is going to look at them and see proof for evolution. And the creationist, the one that says, God is my creator, he's going to look and say, well, you know what that is? That's evidence of a worldwide flood, just like the Bible laid out. And everything else in the Bible is true, too. We have a creator. That's proof that we have, that the Bible is true, and God made everything, and all of this is right and accurate. And he says, what would that evidence, quote unquote, tell you? Well, it would depend on what's in your heart. And some of us might say, I don't know. I'm not convinced. I come to church, and I don't know, if he just had better arguments, I might be convinced. There's a good chance it's not the arguments. It's the wrong heart that's looking at the same evidence that someone who loves God is looking at. And you're deciding, I don't accept that. I reject that. If you just come up with better arguments, maybe I know. God is concealing truth from you because you don't have a heart to follow it. God intended the believer to look back at the Old Testament and learn from the types, the object lesson of Israel, the mistakes they made, and God's long-suffering dealings with them. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. He says, I will utter dark sayings of old. Enigmas of antiquity, riddles of yore, this prophet poured forth a copious stream of song which beneath the gushing flood lay pearls and gems of spiritual truth capable of enriching those who could dive in the depths and bring them up. He says, pay close attention. There will be obvious truths here for some to take in, but only the especially thoughtful will perceive the less obvious and more hidden truths that are so very precious. And then he says, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Our fathers have told us. Oh boy, to a young person, dad is Superman. No one's bigger, and you know, no one can. You know, my dad can beat up your dad, and my dad, he knows all the answers, and my boy, when there's no one like you. Yes, praise God for a Sunday school teacher that teaches your children the Bible. But dad, do they see you in awe of God's precious truths? Yes, praise God for a Christian school teacher. Yes, praise God for a preacher who will stand and loudly proclaim those things. But do they see you excited about those things having been proclaimed? The kids need to see Dad excited about God's word. Mom excited about God's word, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Kate was telling me about a t-shirt she saw, and it said, don't make me repeat myself. Then at the bottom it was signed, history. You won't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it, someone said. God wants us to learn from history. Our fathers have told us. There was a time of oral tradition passing down the truths of God. But I'm glad we have a more sure, less mutable word of testimony. Less mutable. We remember that truth that God is immutable. God is unchanging. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God, I change not. And yes, God used Israel in the Old Testament days to preserve his word, and then the churches of God to preserve his word and make sure that God worked through them to be a caretaker of what we have here in his precious truths. But there was a time where the fathers passed down, and I'm glad that now we have his precious word in the book, but we still have the responsibility. It's less mutable. This book right here, the Bible tells us, 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Oh, I'm so glad that we have the scriptures, but dads, we still have to take this and pass it along and say, oh son, this is precious to me. Daughter, this is precious to me. And it has to be precious to you as well. The best times of a child's life, looking back and saying, I'll never forget the time that as a family, we sat together around God's word and we prayed and we laughed and we talked about what happened in school and what's going on tomorrow, and pray for so-and-so. And if you see so-and-so today, let them know that we prayed for them in family devotion. That precious time spending together around God's word, where there could be tears about how beautiful God's truths are, and the children see mom and dad in love with the word of God. It's got to be mom and dad that pass that along. Yes, a Sunday school teacher could pass some of that along. Yes, a Christian school teacher. Yes, a bus worker. But it's so important that parents pass that along. Of course, it's classic, huh? We've heard this and we scoff at the idea. I'm not going to force religion down my children's throats. I'm going to let them make up their own decision when they're old enough. And we're beyond that. We scoff at such ideas, right? We're ready for that one, too. I mean, we've heard that one. We're ready. We're like, oh, what? Are you going to let them decide for themselves about brushing their teeth as well? You don't want to force hygiene on them lest they get older and say, well, I don't brush because when I was little, my parents forced it on me. We're ready for that one, aren't we? But the rest of that, maybe we've gotten a little soft on sometimes. The rest of that goes like this. I'm not going to force religion on them. So in the meantime, during their impressionable years, the world will force its views on them. We refuse to be sure the truth is fashioning them. And then godless teachers and companions step in to mold and fashion their tender minds and hearts. Boy, I think we're ready for that one, aren't we? We're going to make sure we bring them to church and we drop them off. But are we careful enough about who is influencing them today? Just because we submit to them, we subject them to, we put them near the influence of God's word. If we also give them access to what this world has to say. If we don't limit that the way we should, they will be influenced the wrong way. truth endeared to us by its fond associations with godly parents and venerable friends deserves of us our best exertions to preserve and propagate it. Yes, praise God for the preacher. I owe so much to godly preachers in my life and godly Sunday school teachers and Christian school teachers, but they were never meant to be a substitute for the tears of a godly mom and the prayers of a godly dad. And then last verse, verse 4, we see the bounty of providence. The bounty of providence. How exciting. His wonderful works that he hath done. We see that in that verse. So let's read it. Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. We will not hide them from their children. I don't know, we might have think of that song, right? Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let... Oh, I'm going to break it up there. Huh? I'm going to let it shine. We will not hide them from their children. And I don't think any parent in here would hide God's truth from their children. But I think sometimes we allow God's truth to be hidden if we're not careful enough. Brother Reardon was here, and as he talks about the millions of people in Mexico City, just miles and miles and miles and miles of homes stacked on homes, stacked on homes, and you think every single one of those people has a story. Every one of them has a story. And Brother Reardon, he goes to the Lord and he says, oh God, you're interested in each of those stories. And you want them to know your story. That history really is your story. It's his story. And each one of those people with their story, God wants them to make him a part of their story. To bring their story into his. Because their story ends if not a part of God's. But boy, the Bible says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Each of those people with their precious stories, if they'll just find out that his story includes them and God wants to bring them into his story, they can learn the preciousness of God and they can learn to do what's right and they can and get to the point where he can do the will of God and abide forever. That story doesn't have to end. It can go on into eternity with the precious Lord, their God. We will not hide them from their children. But I think sometimes this world comes in and hides God's truth from our children. I think of John Bunyan with Mansoul. Mansoul. So there was Mansoul. It was pictured as a city with five gates around the city. And the enemy is coming around and probing the defenses and looking for ways to get in. And there were soldiers at each of the gates. There were soldiers ready to throw spears and arrows and drop rocks or whatever. They wanted to make sure they were careful about who was coming in the gates. And the enemy kept probing and seeing, can we get in? Of course, those gates were likened to our senses. The eye gate, a way to get in. The ear gate, a way to get in. The mouth gate, the nose gate, the feel gate. And they were trying to get in. And there were people there, soldiers, but eventually... Boy, the enemy talked a good talk, and they opened the doors and allowed him to come in. I think of different forts that we would have at the mouths of inlets or bays or rivers, right? Different times as you look at military history, there would be a fort there, and they would look, and if there was a ship coming, if that ship were friends... If they were friends, boy, they would allow them to come through. But they're watching for any ships that might come in that they're enemies, that they can start blasting them. Turn the guns. Because we want certain things to have access. And we want to blast everything else. And that's how we are with our senses. And the question is, each one of us has a fort at the inlet of our being. And who is getting blasted? And I would tell you, young people, some of you, you're listening to the wrong kind of music. And that means that as you listen to that, you're setting up little guns at the inlets of your life. And tonight, while I'm preaching, there's truth trying to come into your life. And because of truth having been hid, you have little guns there, a fort there, blasting away and saying, no, that goes against the way my heart is set. You are blasting something. When you have a heart to follow Christ, it's that wrong music. When that wrong music tries to come into your life, that's what's getting blasted. But it all depends on where your heart is. And you might say, I come to church, and boy, if the preaching made more sense. Well, it's not being allowed to come in. You've got little guns there aimed at it as it tries to come into your life, and it's being blasted. Videos that you've excused that God would not be pleased with. Evil communications. Parents, how guilty are we at listening to things, allowing this gate to be compromised, allowing this gate to be compromised. What are we allowing in? And when you allow those things in, and every man is clean in his own eyes, so the moment you give it permission to enter your life, then you've got all the reasons why there's nothing wrong with it, and then anything that goes against what you like is going to get blasted. What's getting blasted? As the truth tries to enter your life, is your mind and your heart all set to blast those things? No, that's not allowed in. And if it's not allowed in, it can't help you. Oh, we want to have that right heart. That as the world comes and says, I want in, that's what's getting blasted. The wrong music, the wrong communication, the world, the lies of our own wicked heart. Not allowed in. What's getting blasted? What's in our heart? Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Parents, you have to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord. And it's not just dropping them off at church. Yes, church is important. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. Yes, it's vital. Yes, it's important. But you have to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord. We must emphasize the power of God. He matters. He's in the business of doing wondrous things. Do your kids see a marvelous God when they see him through your eyes? Do they see you jumping around? God answered prayer. He's everything. He's wonderful. Oh, this book is so precious. Yes, David killed Goliath. But do your kids see the amazing God behind it all? That he was the true victor. Yes, Samson, he was able to rip gates off of walls and carry them for miles and do all sorts of wonderful things. But all of that strength came from God. And when he started to rebel against God, he lost all that strength because it was God. God was the victor. God was the empowerer. Do they see God behind these things? The what of this life? But the who of this life. And parents, nobody can pass it along like you. College students, you're supposed to pick that up. And then, Lord willing, you'll probably have children someday. Have it in your hearts already to love these truths and be ready to pass them on. In your mind already be, Lord, I'm excited about the children you'll possibly give me. I want to make sure that they see your glories. And Lord, I want to be so successful with your help that it affects my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. His strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Parents, they must see God behind the great stories in the Bible and behind the mighty works of creation. And that falls primarily to you. So again, I've kind of hinted at this, and I'm guilty, parents. We can't depend too heavily on the good. We have a great church here, and we have a great school. But it's not just a matter of I bring them and I drop them off so that you can do my thing. It messes everything up when we try to do your thing. When you expect us to be to take this parental role where you're supposed to pass these wonderful things along, pretty soon they're upset with us for I don't know, trying to step into a role that God didn't give us, and you're upset with the whole thing gets messed up. God gave that responsibility to you. And yes, we want to be a help. Yes, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Church has to be a vital part, but you are the one that has to pass these truths along to them. What does the child know of their mother's love? Fathers, do they know from you that if they will not fear the Lord, they will suffer for lack of knowledge? Yes, the church is a great help. Yes, we all have our part in helping our Timothys to know the scriptures from a child. But he was glad there was a godly mother and a grandmother that took that role seriously. Where would he have been if that much needed foundation hadn't been a part of his life? Would he have been the help to Paul that he was? I think not. So who is getting blasted tonight? Where is your heart set? There are the fossils laid before you. What are they telling you? It all depends on what's in your heart. As truth is laid out, the guns are set. What are they aimed at? What the world, as the world tries to enter, are the guns set at those things? Or as the truth tries to enter, it's blasted before it has any kind of a chance. Who is your captain? You're going to stand at attention. All of us stand at attention for somebody. Are you in the Lord's army? When he comes, yes, sir, nothing, whatever you have to say, that's all that matters right now. Or do you have a different captain? Truth, is it revealed to you or concealed? And it's not just a matter of, well, if they had better arguments. No, if you had a heart to receive what God wanted you to receive, you would see the beauty in God's parables, the dark sayings to help some and conceal the truth from others. It's all the heart we bring to it all. Fathers who further the faith. Lord, I do pray that you be with this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our lives. Help us, oh God, to be careful in this area of passing along truth to our young people. I ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.